Good morning, everyone. We'll commence our time of worship by singing together the Psalm number one. Psalm number one in your hymn book, you'll find it in the page number 5. That man of perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. The Psalm number one and the page number 5 of your hymn book, standing as we sing, please. Let's stand as we sing. Together, please, in prayer. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we do gather, Father, this day in thy holy and sacred presence. We come, Lord, in no merit of our own. We realize, O God, that in and of ourselves we are unworthy, O God, of the least of thy blessings. We realize, O God, that thy word says we are all as an unclean thing in the sight of God. We acknowledge that by nature and by thought and word and deed, O God, we have sinned against thee. Yet, O God, we thank thee today for one who is our Redeemer, the only Redeemer of sinful man, thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank thee for his perfect, spotless, flawless life. And Father, we thank thee for his atoning death for guilty sinners such as us upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank thee that there upon the cross he became our substitute. Thy word declares that he bare our sins in his own body to the tree. We thank thee, Father, that on that cross he cried out, "It is finished," that he offered a once for all sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank thee today for the wounds of Christ. We thank thee for the blood that was shed. And we rejoice, O God, in the power and in the victory there is for us through the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee, O God, that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank that Christ triumphed over death, over sin, over hell, and over the grave, that he rose again victorious, that he is alive forevermore, never ever to die again. And Father, we thank thee that as the people of God today who are saved, We can say with confidence because of Christ that because he lives, we shall live also. And Father, we thank thee for each one in our gathering today who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, who can look back to a time in their life's experience when they came as a repentant sinner unto Christ and trusted him to be their own and personal Savior. And Father, we pray for the blessing of God upon every believer in Christ in our gathering today. Lord, deliver us from our ways of self and sin and the ways of this ungodly world. Keep us close to thee, we pray. Help us to die more and more to self, to sin. Help us, Lord, to be conformed more and more unto the image of Christ, that others might take note, even in our lives day by day, that we have been to the Savior, that we belong to the Lord. We ask of thee. For any, Lord, in our gathering cold at heart, may they know thy restoring touch and grace. O God, we pray. For any, Lord, going through times of trial and difficulty, we pray that thou wilt strengthen them. May they know what it is to lean upon the Lord at this time. And we thank thee that thou hast grace sufficient for our every need. And Father, for any with us today, unsaved out of Christ, on that broad road to a lost eternity, still, O God, in nature's night and nature's darkness, O God, speak to them today. O God, may the light of Christ and the gospel shine into their hearts, O God, we ask. And Father, we pray that they would recognize and realize their need as a sinner. May they come and confess their sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And may they come today and put their trust in him, whom to know is life eternal. Bless all who have gathered today. Bless every home and family represented. Meet the needs of all our homes and our family circles, O God, we ask. And Father, we would pray especially, Lord, that thou would unite our family circles in the Lord by thy mighty grace and power. And for those going through times of sickness and difficulty, Lord, who are maybe weak in body today, who'd love to be here yet cannot come to the house of God, the Lord bless them. Others who are aged and infirm, minister to their needs, we pray. And may they know a very conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. May they know the touch of God upon their physical frame and in their heart and in their soul. Thou hast promised, O Lord, to make the bed of thy people in their times of sickness. Thou hast promised to draw very near at such times. And again, Lord, we think of those that have been bereaved in recent times. Lord, do comfort their hearts. Do strengthen them and sustain them. Day by day, we ask of thee. And Father, we pray that thou would fill the vacant chair just with the presence and the nearness of the Lord. Speak to every heart, from the very youngest to the oldest. We thank thee for our Sabbath school already this morning. And Lord, do speak on to the children. Lord, be pleased to save them and bless them in the ways of God, we pray. May they be like Timothy of old, who early in life was made wise unto salvation through hearing the word of God. And Father, we do pray also, O God, for the children's work. We thank thee for all the meetings in the week that has gone by. Bless our sister Gillian and all who labor in these meetings week by week. We pray that the tide of blessing would rise, that many more boys and girls would gather to hear the word of God, and that there too in every meeting this term, Lord, thou wilt save, that thou wilt bless. O God, we ask of thee. Father, we do pray, O God, for our land, our nation today, and all of its need. And Lord, we do pray that thou would be pleased to turn the hearts of men and women and young people unto the Lord, away from sin and false religion and the ungodly ways of this world, O God, we pray. We pray especially, Lord, for our royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. We do pray, Lord, that the light of the gospel would shine into that household and that they would be saved by the grace of God and guided by the word of God. We pray for those who would rule in our land and our nation. Have mercy, Lord, upon them also, we pray. And we pray that their hearts and minds might be enlightened in the knowledge of Christ and of the gospel, that they too would be saved and guided by the word of God. And those even in government that would profess thy name, give them grace and strength to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. And Lord, those who would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to thy word, O God, we pray, Lord, that thou would bring their plans, O God, to nothing, we ask of thee. Again, Heavenly Father, we do pray for our missionaries today, O God. We thank thee for each one who labors faithfully here at home and those that have gone further afield to other parts of the Lord's vineyard. And Father, we thank that thou hast promised to go with thy servants. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them, keep them safe and meet their every need and give them great tokens for good in their ministry today. We think, Lord, of many of thy people also who meet in lands where there is great persecution and great opposition to the gospel and to the Christian faith. And we pray, Lord, for them today that thou wilt bless them and be near them, that thou wilt strengthen them and protect them and watch over them. We do pray again for the land of Israel, that thy protection will be upon thine ancient people. But Father, we do pray, O God, that there would be that remnant according to the election of grace who would turn to thee in faith and in repentance. We pray also, Lord, for the land of Ukraine, that thou would grant peace again in that land, overthrow the works of the evildoer there, we pray, and especially protect and bless the witness of thy people, O God, in that land, we pray of thee. Again, we thank thee for the outreach yesterday down in Kildare. Thank thee for the many thousands of homes that were visited with gospel literature. May that literature today be read, speak through the printed page. And Father, we pray that there will be fruit that will remain from that outreach. Again, Father, we thank thee for the week of prayer here throughout this past week. We thank the Lord for the good spirit of prayer amongst thy people. We thank thee, Father, for the good attendance night by night. And Father, we pray that this spirit of prayer would continue, that we would not lose ground as a people. And even, Lord, as we prepare for the forthcoming mission, that thou wilt burden our hearts to pray day by day for those meetings. Burden our hearts, O God, to do all we can to invite, encourage loved ones unsaved and others in under the sound of the gospel. O God, we pray. Father, bless us now. We thank thee for the psalm that we have sung. And help us, Lord, to be like the blessed man that was spoken of there in that psalm. And grant today, O God, that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. And Lord, as we would gather later around the table of the Lord to remember Calvary, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come down with power and with great grace amongst us, and that thou would bless, O God, our waiting hearts. Abide with us now, we pray, and do us good. Hide man far behind the cross, and glorify and honor our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. We're turning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 42 in your hymn book, a wonderful hymn. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Hymn number 42 will stand as we sing, and thinking of the words as we sing them and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing.
Thank you.
have your Bible with you today, I would ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter number 2 for our Bible reading today. Reading from Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning to read at the verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? There is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie of waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went and what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 20. And our prayer is that God would add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day to God's house. Good to see each one gathered with us today, young and old alike. We bid you all a very special welcome. And as you're visiting with us today, it's a joy always to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home. If you're a believer today, may you be drawn closer to the Savior. If you're here today and you're not saved, we pray this day will become the very day of your salvation in trusting Christ as Savior. We welcome those also who are joining us online. And we pray God also will bless you today through His Word and His truth to your heart. Immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, walking with the Lord invites you to remember His death in His own appointed way. The evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30, we encourage as many as possible to remember the time of prayer, and then the gospel service at 7 p.m. I belong to bring God's Word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Today being the first Sunday of the month is Building Fund Offering, so do remember that, please. Tuesday night is prayer meeting night. It will be a shortened meeting from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. We trust as many as possible will gather for the time of prayer. And then from 9 o'clock to 9:45 or so, in the back prayer room there, at the front prayer room at the front of the church, there'll be a demonstration just on the use of the new defibrillator that has been put up here in the church building. So that's open to all. Trust as many as possible able to stay behind just for that demonstration as well. That will be greatly appreciated. Wednesday afternoon at 2:30 is the monthly gospel meeting in Gortacharan Nursing Home. Friday morning, 11 a.m., is the monthly open-air gospel witness at the Diamond and Enniskillen. Remember the children's meetings each night, 6:30, Tuesday, Tresna, Wednesday, Lisbalaw, Thursday, Maguire's Bridge, Friday night, Bethel. And then Friday night here in the church at 8 p.m., do remember, please, the special gospel praise service. Our brother, the Reverend William McCrae, will be with us to sing and to preach. Do pray for that meeting. Do make it known and invite and encourage others in to attend the meeting. And there will be invitations for that. We encourage you to take those, give them out, and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word on that evening. There will be supper for all on that occasion, and just in connection with that, if the ladies could wait behind tonight just in the prayer room for 5 or 10 minutes to make the necessary arrangements for that. Next Lord's Day, the 11th of February, Sunday School and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service, 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. We belong to bring God's Word. And Monday night, the 12th of February, here in the church, 8 p.m., is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting. That is open to all ladies are welcome and to bring friends with you. And her sister, Mrs. Olive Maxwell, will be the speaker on that occasion. That is tomorrow night week. Also on Monday night, the 12th of February, we're doing ourselves a Let the Bible Speak TV recording up in Lurgan. Pray for that. Any of the brethren wishing to go along, do let us know. Lord's Day, the 18th of February, this day fortnight, we hope to have the students with us from the Whitfield College of the Bible to preach and to testify. Morning and evening is always a day we look forward to in our church calendar. Pray for that and make it known and invite others in under the sound of God's Word. Do please pray for the two-week gospel mission planned in Lisbalaw, Orange Hall, from Sunday the 25th of February through to Sunday, March the 10th. Lord's Days, 3:30, weeknights are 8 p.m., the evangelist, Mr. Colin Maxwell, the Reverend Larry Power, and myself. Be much in prayer for that. We hope to do visitation for that the week beforehand. And all are welcome to help with this. And if you want to do an area yourself that suits you better, well, let me know. And when we get the invites, we'll get them out to you. But just let us know the particular area so there's not an overlap. And then just one or two announcements in connection with our recent presbytery meeting on Friday night. Do please pray for our brother, Mr. Jonathan Story, a licentiate minister of our presbytery, who's accepted a call to Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church, and then also the Reverend Paul Foster, who has accepted a call to mourn a Free Presbyterian Church. So remember these brethren, please, in your prayers as they take up these ministries, that God's hand of blessing and of grace would be upon them. That's all by way of necessary announcements. Returning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 515. 515, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? We'll remain seated for the early part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do please remember the offering plates there at the rear as you leave. 515, remaining seated while we sing. For the final verse and chorus. Passage in Nehemiah chapter 2 that we read earlier, please. Nehemiah chapter 2, with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, in a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy presence, the singing of thy praises, the reading of the word of God. And Lord, as we turn now to consider thy word, open our hearts and minds to receive of meekness this day the engrafted word of life. Apply thy word to all our hearts as thou would see our particular need. Use thy word to the saving of sinners. Use thy word, O God, to the sanctifying of saints. Use thy word to the glorifying of Christ. Undertake now for this preacher, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. We pray for that double portion that comes alone from thee. Give wisdom, clarity of mind, plainness, simplicity of speech, liberty in the preaching of thy word. Hide man far behind the cross. Pour out thy spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. We ask this all in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Now, our text of scripture for today is the final words of verse number 8 of Nehemiah chapter number 2. I read those words with you again. It says, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Throughout scripture, the importance of faith in the life of God's people is highlighted really from Genesis right through to Revelation. Christ himself makes much of this in his earthly ministry in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove thence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Again, in the Gospel of Mark, he said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Speaking again of the matter of faith in the life of the Christian, an eminent saint of God of a bygone day said these words. They said, "Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. It is so sure and certain that a man could stake his life upon it 1,000 times. No doubt such words really speak to you and I about the value and the potency of faith. Yes, the life of the Christian is to be marked by faith. And this was most certainly the case with Nehemiah of old. Yes, through faith in God, he was a man who accomplished great things for God. And he bears testimony of this faith in the words of our text today at the end of verse 8 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah, when he says, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." And here he tells how the Lord made it possible, opened up the way for him to return to Jerusalem to do a work for God in his day and generation. Yes, in relation here to the testimony of Nehemiah's faith, there are three important characteristics for every believer in Christ to note. Speaking again about the importance of faith in the Christian, the hymn writer says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." And brethren and sisters in Christ in the meeting today, if you and I are to leave a mark for God in our day and generation, then we too must be men and women of faith. And that being the case, I want us just to consider the record of Nehemiah's faith, the testimony of his faith in this text and in this chapter here, too, of the book of Nehemiah. You'll notice, first of all, here with me today that Nehemiah's faith was patient. You go back to chapter 1 and the verse number 1, you'll see that in that verse mention is made of the month Chislew. It says, "And it came to pass in the month Chislew, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace." And then if you go on down to verse 1 of chapter 2, you'll see there mention is made of the month Nisan. It says, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king." Now, there was a space of 4 months in the calendar at that time between the month Chislew and the month Nisan. And it was approximately 4 months since Nehemiah initially heard
upon the awful desolation and destruction of Jerusalem and its walls. But people, the thing I want to emphasize today is this, that during these 4 months, this man, Nehemiah, he waited upon God in prayer for guidance, for direction about this particular matter. And here you and I, we see the patience of Nehemiah's faith. And believer in Christ, let me say this today. Yes, when you and I, we face problems in life, when we have important decisions to make as Christians, yes, we must be patient. We too must wait in faith upon the Lord for His guidance. We too must wait upon the Lord for His intervention. The Bible says, "He that believeth shall not make haste." The psalmist says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You turn with me in your Bible back to the Old Testament book of Ruth, just a little bit back from our Bible reading today, to Ruth chapter number 3. And here you see at the end of this chapter how Ruth was concerned as to whether Boaz would favor her or not in this particular occasion in her life. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, gave her good advice. She told her to wait in faith upon the Lord for God's providential dealings and God's intervention in the matter. Look at the beginning of verse 18 of Ruth chapter number 3. It says, "Then said she," that is Naomi, "to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until I know how the matter will fall." And Naomi there was giving Ruth good advice that day, encouraging her to wait patiently upon the Lord. And dear Christian, in the meeting today, in times of difficulty, in times when you and I have got important decisions to make, learn to wait in faith upon the Lord. This applies to every part of our life as Christians, our home life, our family life, God's work that we're involved in, our daily vocation in life, wherever the providence of God casts us upon. The psalmist says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Again, in Psalm 46, the Lord says to you and I as Christians, "Be still and know that I am God." It has been said that patience, yes, makes the Christian invincible. And people of God, it is important that you and I learn to wait upon the Lord. Why? Because by waiting upon the Lord to intervene in life situations, you and I will be kept from mistakes. You and I will be kept from going a wrong way or going down a wrong path. The Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect." Also, by waiting upon the Lord, dear Christian, you and I will know calmness of heart and mind and soul. For the Bible says to the Lord, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." Then also, dear Christian, by waiting upon the Lord, you and I, yes, we will bring glory to the Lord. How, you might say? Well, by giving the Lord the rightful place of being Lord of our lives and King of our lives as Christians. You think today of Samuel of old, a man who lived for the Lord, a man who brought great glory to the Lord, and he learned to wait upon God. Even in his earliest days, he said this, he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." He was waiting upon the Lord to speak, to lead, to guide, and to direct. In Samuel's life throughout his ministry and his life in Israel brought great glory, great honor to the Lord. And Christian, that is why it is so important in this world of rushing on, this world when people have time for nothing today, that you and I as Christians learn to wait upon the Lord day by day. Yes, we see here that Nehemiah's faith was patient. You'll notice something else here that we can say, that Nehemiah's faith was also prayerful. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 of Nehemiah chapter number 2. It says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not slack? There is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie of waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" You'll see there that in those verses how keen Artaxerxes, he notices that Nehemiah's countenance was sad at this time. Why? Because of the state of Jerusalem and the desolation of his homeland of Israel, desolation in the city of Jerusalem and its walls been broken down. And upon inquiry by the king, you'll see here that Nehemiah makes known the reason for the sadness. And following that, look at verse 4. Notice there what the king asks of Nehemiah. The verse 4 opens with the words that says, "Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request?" And people, here we see the truth that no heart is beyond the touch of the Lord. Does not the Bible say the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord? As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You turn your Bible back, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And here we have Jehoshaphat in prayer before the Lord. And this is a great trial for Jehoshaphat at this time, but he recognizes the greatness of the power of God in his situation. Look at verse 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is what he prays to the Lord, and it shows a recognition in Jehoshaphat's heart of God's almighty power. And he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" What a view Jehoshaphat had of the Lord's almighty power. And in this great trial that was upon Nehemiah at this time, he was a man who had a view also to the mighty power of God in his circumstances. Believer, I say to you today, in all the battles of life, remember this, that no person, no situation, no circumstance is too hard for the Lord. It has been said that one with God is a majority. You think again of this question here that was put by the king to Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter number 2 and the verse number 4, "For what dost thou make request?" This question from the king Artaxerxes to Nehemiah, and remember Nehemiah was just a servant, a slave. In fact, in Bible times, if a man was sad, if a servant was sad in the presence of a king, it could mean the very end of his life. The king could have said, "Off with your head." He could have sent him to prison and taken his very life from him, but God intervenes, and by God's intervention, he comes with this question here to Nehemiah, and he says, "For what dost thou make request?" This was God's intervention in the whole situation concerning Nehemiah at this time. And by that question that was no doubt prompted by God in the heart of King Artaxerxes, Nehemiah is now able, he's given an opportunity to ask the king for permission to go back to Jerusalem to do the work of God. Look at the following verse. Look at verse 5 of the chapter. Notice what it says. "And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest," notice it, "send me." Notice the willingness of Nehemiah to do the work of God. He says, "Send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." But people, the thing I want to underscore here is this: immediately prior to this request to go back home to Jerusalem to do God's work, you'll see here that Nehemiah, he shoots a prayer to heaven. Look at what we read there at the end of verse 4 of the chapter. He says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven. Here he is in the midst of his work, in the midst of conversation with the king. And what does he do? He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. He prayed to the Lord. He spoke to the Lord. Oh, it's important to remember that this short prayer here, and it's only a few words regarding this prayer in the life of Nehemiah at this time. It's important to remember, people, that this prayer was preceded by months of prayer in the life of Nehemiah. And here he is at a moment's notice, and he prays to God. He lifts up his heart and soul to the Lord in prayer. Child of God, Christian in the meeting, it is vitally important, yes, that you and I have specific times and specific seasons in our life for prayer. Daniel had 3 times daily when he prayed, and we should have set seasons in our personal life for prayer. There should be that determination. There should be that, as it were, order in our life as Christians day by day when we set aside a time to pray, to seek God. And there ought also to be those times when we attend the public seasons of prayer, the midweek prayer meeting, the prayer meetings before the services, and other stated seasons. Those are things we must not neglect or set aside. But likewise, Christian, the thing to note is this: you and I can also pray as Christians at a moment's notice. In times of extremity, in times of opportunity. Why? Because of Christ, our great high priest in heaven, who intercedes for us continually at God's right hand in glory. Turning your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. And Christian, never lose sight of this. In a time of trouble, in a time of extremity, time of great need, you and I as Christians can lift up our hearts to God in prayer. When things happen suddenly and unexpectedly, we're taken unawares, we don't know what to do, we can pray because of Christ, our great high priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16 of the chapter. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christian, are you in a time of need today? What are you to do? Come boldly through Christ unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace and help in your time of need. My, because of Christ, our great high priest, you and I, yes, we can pray to God in any time of need, in every time of need. Yes, there are some people in life that we can only speak to at certain times. Maybe there's some people we would never have an opportunity to speak to. Not so with God, not so with our Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, who is more gracious to us than we can ever understand with our own words and thoughts. God's ear is always open to the prayers of his people. The Bible says he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And if you go back here to Nehemiah chapter 2, you'll see here how God did answer this prayer for this man, Nehemiah. Look at verse 6, 7, and 8 of Nehemiah chapter 2. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter in. And the king, notice it, granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. There we have God answering specific prayer for Nehemiah at this time. Christian, the Lord says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Notice one final thing here today. Notice that Nehemiah's faith was provoking. Nehemiah's faith was provoking. You'll see here from the passage that Nehemiah's faith is such that it provokes the devil's wrath. It provokes the devil's opposition and raising up enemies to hinder and to oppose Nehemiah in the work of God. Look at what we read there in verse 10 of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Who was behind this opposition? The devil was the architect. He was the instigator of it all. And Christian, learn from this in the meeting today. When you and I seek to do God's work, and seek to do God's will, Satan, yes, will always seek to hinder us and to oppose us and to raise up opposition against us to hinder us from doing the work of God. You think of Paul as he wanted to go to labor amongst the Thessalonians. Satan hindered him. He says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. He knew the malice, the opposition of the enemy. You look at verse number 19 of the chapter. Here you see how the enemy laughed and scorned at Nehemiah and his helpers in the work. Verse 19 of the chapter says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Here we see how the enemy laughed and scorned Nehemiah and his laborers, fellow helpers at that time. And likewise, believer, you remember this today, that whenever the ungodly laughs at you and mocks at you and scorns at you because of your Christian life, your Christian witness and testimony, Christian, do not count it a strange thing. Think of Christ. Christ was perfect, and he was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was reviled. He bore reproach. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yes, Nehemiah's faith provoked the enemy, the malice of the ungodly against him. Notice something else here. Nehemiah's faith had provoked the fellow Israelites to serve the Lord as well. Look at verse 13 of the chapter. He says, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And here we see Nehemiah, he's now in Jerusalem, surveying the desolation of the city and the walls that are broken out. But the thing to notice is the desolation did not discourage him. The desolation did not deter him from serving the Lord and doing the work of God. No, the very opposite. Rather, Nehemiah, he saw the devastation and the desolation of Jerusalem as an opportunity. What for? For doing good. For serving the Lord. And child of God, learn from this one. Trials and troubles come your way as a believer. See it, Christian, as an opportunity to do good. An opportunity to serve the Lord. Look at verse 17 of the chapter. You see there how Nehemiah, he encourages his fellow Jews to rise up and to build with him in verse 17. He says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. He says, come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Notice how the people respond to this challenge and this invitation. Look at verse 18 of the chapter. He says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words, and he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And notice there what it says, that God's work is a good work. The devil in the world laughs at the work of the Christian, but God's work is a good work. We see here how Nehemiah, yes, he receives encouraging response. Why? Because he keeps his eyes upon the Lord. He testifies here of the Lord's hand upon him. And he tells the people of what the Lord had done for him. And further proof that his eyes were upon the Lord is seen in what he says to the enemies against him. Look at verse 20 at the end of the chapter. He said, "Then answered I them, and I said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." As he was facing the enemy, his eyes were upon the Lord. He says, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we will arise and build." And child of God, let me say this, when you and I keep our eyes upon the Lord and tell others of what the Lord has done for us, what he means to us as Savior, then we will encourage others as well to serve the Lord. We will encourage others as well to trust the Lord, to follow the Lord, and to obey the Lord. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter number 4. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. And here you read about the conversion of the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. And look at the effect of her witness, her testimony of faith. Go down to verse 29 of the chapter. Here she has just been saved, and she speaks to the men of the city who knew her in her sin and her unrepentant days. And she says of Christ, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Go down to verse 39 of the same chapter. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did." You remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth? And the Corinthian church was not a perfect church. It had many faults and failings and shortcomings. But he spoke to the believers there and he said these words to them. He says, "Your zeal hath provoked very many." Their zealousness provoked others to be zealous also in the things of God. Believer, when you're zealous for the Lord, his word, his work, his glory, this will provoke and encourage others to follow suit and to do likewise. The Bible says, "No man liveth unto himself." None of us are islands to ourselves. The hymn writer says, "Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray, my life possessing. My service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today." And Nehemiah was a channel of blessing. Why? Because he was a man of faith. And likewise, Christian, you and I also can be channels of blessing in our daily lives, in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood where we live, and in God's work and in our church. Why? When we live unto Christ, live by faith, and as the hymn writer says, seek to do God's blessed will. Oh, Christian, as you launch out into a new week, seek to walk by faith and not by sight. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Seek to obey the Lord and do his blessed will. Am I speaking to one in the meeting today and you're not saved? Friend, if your life is to be a blessing to others, you must repent. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. Turn unto God. Confess your sins to God. Confess your sins to Christ. Thank Christ for coming and dying on the cross for you. Ask for his cleansing through his blood. Ask him to save you. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Am I speaking to a backslider in the meeting today and you've wandered far from the Lord? The Bible says to you and I, we are to be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are to lay aside, the Bible says, every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Whatever it is, whatever hinders you, Christian, in your walk with God, you must set it aside. Put your trust in Christ. Follow the Lord. Obey the Lord. And seek to do the will of God day by day, and God will bless you. God will use you for his honor and for his glory. We'll close our meeting with a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence in our meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for help in the preaching of Thy Word. Take the truths of Thy Word, the lessons of Thy Word, write them upon our hearts, deep into our souls, Lord. May we hide them in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. Help us, O God, to live by faith. Help us as Thy people, Lord, to lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. Help us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For any in our meeting today not saved, may they come to that place of repentance toward God. Come to recognize their great need as a lost sinner before a holy God. May they put their faith and their trust in Christ alone today for salvation. Answer prayer to this end. Bless us as we wait around the table of the Lord. And for those who cannot stay, bless them on their homeward journey. Speak on, we beseech of Thee. Keep Thy hand upon us for good throughout this day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour, we ask, for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. We're going to turn, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 462 in your hymn book. The hymn number 462 is a wonderful old hymn. Ties in with our message today. It says, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord.' We'll stand as we sing this hymn after the singing of the first verse. And of course, I'd be going to the door. And if you cannot stay for the Lord's table, we'll be there to greet you as you leave. But we would encourage as many as possible to stay behind and to remember the Lord's death in His own appointed way. 462, we'll stand as we sing.